Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky. Welcome back to Savitsky Talks. And today I have Rabbi Gideon Black, who is the JLIC rabbi at the NYU campus. Rabbi Black, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank God. Thank you so much for having me on.
That's my pleasure and honor to have you on. What a job being the rabbi at NYU JLIC. Must be very challenging, correct?
Absolutely. It's an adventure, but it's a huge operation. We're blessed to have around 500 graduates of Orthodox day schools at NYU and a couple of the other surrounding campuses, Cooper Union and others in the neighborhood. So it's a really big community, which is a blessing, but also offers a unique set of challenges.
Wow, incredible. Well, you know, in the Jewish Action that should be coming out shortly, we're now in October 2013, the next edition, which comes out, the winter edition. There are two articles actually written by former JLIC rabbis about the college campus. One is called Faith on Campus, the Critical Role of a Campus Orthodox Community by David Wolkenfeld. And the other is Community on Campus, What Does It Take to Build an Orthodox Community on College Campus by Ellie Fisher. And I think what both of them are really saying is the following, that it's a culture shock for most of our kids when they come into the college environment. You know, regardless of whether they spent a year in Israel or not, they walk into a whole new world. And the question is, are they really prepared? So what are your thoughts about it?
I couldn't agree with that assessment more. There is definitely a culture shock. There's almost some sort of emotional and spiritual whiplash that they get when they arrive on campus. And I think it's largely because of the strength, almost, of the community that they've been part of up until this point, where for the vast majority of the Orthodox students on campus, this is really their first opportunity engaging and encountering otherness. They have lived amongst Orthodox from neighbors. They've gone to Jewish Orthodox day schools. They've gone to yeshivas. They've spent their summers in camp, and a good proportion have spent a year in Israel, or even two. And they come to campus, and in a sense, if they go to somewhere like NYU, and they'll be able to maintain those frameworks to an extent, because they'll be on campus with so many of their friends and acquaintances from camp, from school, from yeshiva. But it's not the same. It's remarkable just how different and how just jarring it can be for them to be around both people from different faiths and people from just different parts of the world. And even often the most challenging is from people from their same faith, but just who practice their Judaism in a very different way, or don't practice it at all. And that adjustment is really difficult. And so to answer the question directly, I'd say they're not totally equipped to face that challenge, but that may not be something that they are, that there is a way to equip them with until they actually hit campus. It's almost like there's only so much you can do, so much education you can absorb, and so much emunah you can sort of try and build up. But the experience of being on campus, on a secular campus, as a modern Orthodox Jew trying to be shomer mitzvot is a unique experience, and there's no lab in which you can replicate it until you get here.
So there's no training program. So I agree with you what you're saying. But on the other hand, I mean, don't you think we could do more to prepare them for it?
I think the better experiences, the richer their Yiddishkeit coming in, the better position they're in to sort of not just maintain what they have, but to find that their life on campus is actually a spiritually rewarding experience. But there's no... we can't replicate their experience here beforehand. There'll be a certain age when they get here. They'll have had certain experiences from the previous year, certain positive or negative interactions with educators or rabbanim. I think, though, if there is one thing that we can do, is to give our kids a sense of pride, a sense of what it means to be Jewish in contrast to the world around you. Almost that they need a spine. If you've grown up in a very comfortable and closeted community, where being a Jew is about being able to enjoy life, in that there's a multitude of kosher restaurants, and that the camps are amazing, and that the sort of just the blessing of Judaism in America has just been this tremendous sense of abundance in Jewish life, in both a spiritual and a material sense. And we haven't had to cultivate a sense of what it means to say no to things. But part of being the sort of an original Jew, in a sense, Avraham Avery, Avraham stood on the other side. It's about, there is a sense that you're different and that you have to develop a spine and be able to say no to things. And I grew up in the UK, where being an Orthodox Jew in the public domain was certainly much more of a rare thing, and you felt different, and people looked at a yarmulke in the street, even if not in an anti-Semitic way, just people stared at you, you felt different, you knew that being from meant being different. And especially in the New York area, being from as a teenager doesn't necessarily mean being different. If anything, that means going with the flow. That's what everyone else is doing. That's what where the current is taking you. And then on campus, suddenly you find you're swimming against the current, and you haven't had that swimming practice. And so anything that we can do to inculcate a sense of pride and strength about what it means to be a proud Jew in the secular world is going to help.
I think you're making a really, really great point, because I think people, there's like a comfort zone that people have, and they never question it. And they never look around at the rest of the world and say, well, what is everybody else doing, and what makes me different? And is my lifestyle and the way I've chosen to live my life a better one than they have? And sometimes that's a decision that someone has to make. You know, I'm doing all these things. You know, I've got all these commandments that everybody doesn't have. I'm davening three times a day. I'm eating kosher. I have my Shabbos. I have all kind of other things as far as, you know, ethical, moral, social behavior. Is it really worth it? And if it's not really worth it, and you come to the college campus, you say, okay, now it's time for me to just let it go.
100%. I also feel that it's hard to sell a culture of being commanded, of tzivui, to this sort of generation. Ultimately, we can package the benefits of an Orthodox life only to a certain extent. You know, nowadays Shabbos is so popular, it's very cool, because being disconnected from technology for 25 hours, that's awesome nowadays, and you're seeing more and more of strands of Judaism and other faiths that are sort of promoting this idea of taking a day off a week and just disconnecting. But that's only going to take us so far, because, you know, when it comes to Borah or other halachot, that needn't necessarily affect or suffer an attempt to disconnect. So I think, you know, for the current sort of late teenage generation, how do we talk about the notion of being obligated or being commanded to do something in a way that's compelling and meaningful for them, and not just about this is going to make your life better, or it's going to give you more inspiration or more meaning. A lot of our kirov, a lot of our outreach does sell the benefits of a traditional life, and I incorporate some of those techniques in my own work, and I think they're fundamentally important, and I think it's true. I think there are such amazing and compelling additions to our life as individuals, as Jews, through just the benefits of keeping the mitzvah. But I think if we sort of gloss over the element of being commanded, of being obligated, of that we're part of this amazing mission, but a lot of Torah comes with a sense of obligation, then eventually the sort of the byproducts, the good side of things will run out, and the other parties are going to be more fun on campus.
Do you think that we're taking a big risk by embarking on this program on a college campus, and we should try to have a much more isolated, you know, development role for our teenagers as they grow up? Or do you think it's healthy? I don't know the answer. I think about this a lot.
sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Well, in other words, are we pushing the envelope too far by letting him go to the college campus as opposed to, you know, going to other places, Yeshiva University, you know, Toro or, you know, Landers, you know, Stern College, pushing our kids more in that direction and saying you really shouldn't go on the college campus because it's a dangerous place?
That's a great question. I think that so many parents, even very sort of traditional from families, for a variety of reasons, want their kids to be coming to NYU, for example. You know, especially if the parents have, they themselves are alumni, which many of our parents are, or if they really feel that their child's going to get a better chance at getting on the corporate ladder if they've gone to a, you know, nationally known business school or whatever it might be. So I don't think that if the institutional Jewish world is emphasizing putting more money into YU and other Jewish universities, that's going to stop large swathes of the Orthodox community sending their kids to NYU and other secular campuses. I think the numbers are only growing, and I think we ignore these kids at our peril. I think that you just see the strength of the communities on campus. They're going to be here regardless, and we need to be in the trenches and living with them. Thank God my wife and I and our two-year-old son, we live right here on campus. We live next door to one of the big freshman dorms, Weinstein, which has a couple of hundred Orthodox day school graduates living in the building. So, and being right there with them is huge, eating with them every day, spending Shabbos here every week. We couldn't do it from afar.
So kind of taking that to the next level, let's assume you're a parent and, you know, you could send your child to NYU or you could send them someplace else. The parent determines academically the other school may be better for whatever reason. But on the other hand, NYU has a JLIC and an infrastructure. How do you balance that question, and what would you tell a parent?
Without overestimating our significance on campus, I would be very hesitant to send my child to a secular college campus in America that doesn't have a JLIC program on it. It's sort of the foundation of at least having the chance of living an exciting and involved Orthodox life of minyanim, of kosher food, of like robust Shabbat programming. You know, you might be able to find a Hillel that on paper has a kosher meal plan, has Shabbat services, but you really need to actually test that out and see, are there a good number of people there each week? And not only are they there, but is it something that your kid would keep going to beyond sort of September of their freshman year? Because if it's not well attended and if it's not run by educators who are passionate and who live on campus and who have experience years in Jewish education, then it's not going to be compelling enough. It's not going to compete with the other stuff going on campus.
But the Berel of Chabad on campus is really different. They're really doing more outreach, aren't they?
On most campuses, yeah. I think that's their mission, and they do a remarkable job of bringing sort of the unaffiliated some meaningful Jewish experiences.
What would you say the percentages are of kids coming in to the college campus when they leave 4 years later? How many of them are still Orthodox? Well, is there a big dropout rate? Is there an assimilation rate? I mean, I don't know that the numbers are, you know, quantifiable, but you probably have some sense of it anyway, I'm sure.
I think that's very interesting because it really depends how you define Orthodox. I think the vast majority of, you know, let's say 100 kids come to NYU each year from who are Orthodox, have gone to Orthodox day schools. The vast, vast majority of them will graduate identifying as Orthodox. Their friends will all be Orthodox. The shul they'll go to when they go back home will be Orthodox, and they'll imagine being members of an Orthodox synagogue when they get married 5 or 12 years after graduating, whatever it might be.
Right.
But in terms of their halachic practice, you know, you could definitely consider a big number of them not Orthodox. And that's going to be really interesting in the coming years to see how that reality affects the Orthodox world, where we'll have more and more people who are socially Orthodox, who are communally Orthodox in their affiliation, in their family commitments, and in the life that they want to lead later on. But in their day-to-day sort of kashrut and Shabbat observance, it's not anything like what they came into campus with.
Okay. Do you see any who actually, I mean, are there those few that actually come out of it strengthened? Or
100%. They are the minority, but there are some people who will find the unique environment of a college campus as being exactly what they needed to just springboard in their Yiddishkeit. The campus has an amazing ruach. There's a lot of opportunities for singing, for tishes, for that type of thing, and a lot of opportunities for service, for chesed. You know, we have a number of programs on campus that we run. We run a soup kitchen on the Lower East Side at a lunch club for seniors who can't afford to make their own food or physically are sort of more limited and can't prepare their own meals. And, you know, we send students there every Friday, and they come back just inspired and enthused, having just devoted a couple of hours of their time to serving others. Or it could be going on a disaster relief program after a tornado or a flooding, that type of thing. So what I'm trying to say is these experiences of serving others, of the ruach on campus on a Shabbat, of stepping up in a student leadership position, they actually can lead a number of students to grow in their Judaism in a way that if they'd maintained a involvement in their pre-existing Orthodox community, if they'd stayed in yeshiva longer, if they'd gone to maybe another college that is more homogenous, they wouldn't have had that sort of surge in their personal growth.
Now, would you say that when you look at male female, is it equal for both, or does one gender have additional, deterrents or factors that lead into whether they will stay Orthodox or not?
We see that a slightly higher participation amongst girls. I think girls by nature are enthusiastic and are open to being involved. But I think on a personal level, I do see that guys struggle a little more. The sort of drastic difference between being in yeshiva, being in Israel, the previous year, and then the sort of the scene on campus, the partying and things that go on, is more. I feel it's a touch more spiritually threatening for a guy than a girl.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think that's probably true. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure just having this short conversation, but I'm sure people will read the two articles and enjoy them. And it's a food for thought. I mean, I think it's a very difficult situation today for a parent who has their child who they've invested 16, 17 years of Jewish education, sending them to a college campus. And I agree with something you said before, which I think is absolutely imperative, maybe the most important thing that we have to get across. If you're going to send your child to the college campus, try to send them to a college campus where we have at least a JLIC couple, a rabbi, a rabbitson, people who could be role models, people who they could learn Torah with, people who can inspire them. I really think you're taking a major chance if you're sending your child to a school that doesn't have that anchor. So, Rabbi Black, it has been great talking to you. Continued good luck to you and everything you do.
Thank you so much for giving me the time to talk with you.
My pleasure. Be well. Bye-bye.
All the best.